Welcome to Binary Jazz, the leaf pile in the sky. I am Chris, Jazz Sequence on the internet. I'm with Gary, who's Binary Gary on the internet, and Allison, that's Allison Plus on the internet. And we are a podcast about things. That is the thing. That's what you're here for. We're in your pods casting. Typically the way that this goes is Allison brings us a topic and we talk about the thing. Gary and I don't know what the topic is and we try to make shit up until it makes sense, and usually get sidetracked and talk about other shit.
I was going to say two things. One, Allison, dig in the glasses. For those of you that are listening to an audio podcast, Allison's wearing glasses today. Secondly, in the States, it's Thanksgiving, which is a semi-major holiday.
We're recording this, it was before Thanksgiving. When this is going to be released, a week after Thanksgiving.
Assuming yet to give thanks.
Yeah, we're pretty thankful. There's like a frenetic energy, I think, around holidays, and I am very hopeful that I can harness some of that in a useful way today, and it's not just mayhem. Although, as it's been going thus far, it's just been mayhem. Starting with like great donuts this morning. So I'm actually working today. I didn't take the day off. So all this has happened and I'm still calling it a work day so far.
What episode are we on? That one.
Well, I am not officially giving thanks this week, but I will.
You thanks gave already, right?
Yeah, I already gave thanks, and it's tangled. You can't give thanks too much.
Yeah, there's only so much thanks to give.
Yeah, there's only so much thanks to give, and it gets repetitive after a while.
I mean, I think that's legit because the general state of the world has not been, you know, rad.
True. I do normally actually have two Thanksgivings because I love Thanksgiving food. But this year I did not get my act together. But you know, the week is still young. Maybe there's still a grocery trip in my future for some sweet potato casserole and pecan pie. I don't know. Who's to say? Who's to say?
What's the side that you're always most excited about? Is it sweet potato casserole?
Sweet potato casserole or Yorkshire pudding.
Mm.
Pretty excited about.
I'm cliche. And I love the green bean casserole. So
morning. None of those are things that are in
mushroom
my
soup
Thanksgiving yeah. repertoire.
I don't think we're actually doing it this year, so we'll do broccoli casserole. We'll do some roasted vegetables. We'll do risotto, asparagus risotto. I'm pretty excited about that, actually.
That is exciting.
Yeah, that does sound pretty good.
Not a traditional Thanksgiving dish, but
we don't know.
You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're right. I don't know, pies? How do you feel about pie?
I mean, I love pie. I'm very particular about my pie though, which means I have to make it myself normally.
I think pumpkin is overrated.
I'm with agreeance. Pumpkin is not the one I reach for.
No, pecan is mine, or pecan.
I'll eat pumpkin pie, but it wouldn't be my first choice.
Yeah.
I told my mom this and she said it was a revelation. And I was just like, well, surely you know that, like, noticed at holidays, I usually just eat the pecan pie. And she was just like, but I had pumpkin pie there too. And I was just like, yeah, but I think it's a texture thing.
I'm pumpkin pied out at this point, but I've only ever had spice. Like,
I never really had the pumpkin pie. I think I did. I think it was the texture thing that put me off. I didn't have pumpkin pie until like I was an adult. I was like, oh, this is actually this pie that I've never had as a child is actually pretty good. But it's not my favorite. I always go toward like berry pies more than that sort of like creamy.
Yeah. Whatever. Where are we on rhubarb?
Love rhubarb.
Yeah, okay. All right. Strawberry rhubarb pie was like an institution as I was a kid.
Oh, I used to think my grandpa growing up would always say rhubarb pie was his favorite, but we just never had any rhubarb. And so I thought it was like a made up thing. because this was like very classic, my grandpa, like making up weird words and like just going with it. And so I thought rhubarb was just like this fake pie that he pretended to like, until I got to a restaurant at some point. I was like, it's real.
I better try it.
Yeah, I know. I have to try it now. My mother-in-law has a gigantic rhubarb bush that when we lived closer, she would always give me a bunch of rhubarb, which was great. Bush? I don't know what it is. It's kind of like it's gigantic. They take over, apparently. If anyone's ever interested in growing rhubarb, it's a feat.
I've never consumed rhubarb.
Oh.
It's I think it's best paired with like a berry to like kind of I don't know, dull the sharpness. I don't know how to.
Yeah, I don't know that I've had one many years.
My stepmom was always into rhubarb pies. And that was like the first time I had ever learned of the existence of a thing called rhubarb. It was a similar sort of thing, like this seems like a made up thing. And then I learned that it was like a vegetable that you're pairing with a pie. And I'm like, what? This doesn't make any sense. This does not compute.
Does not compute.
Hey, you know what bums me out about pumpkins? I'm going to tell you. The inside doesn't match the outside color. Like, how cool would it be if you had a green pumpkin and you like cut it open and it was green inside instead of like orange fleshy or white, you know? Or
but like what vegetable matches?
What?
Bell peppers. Yeah, cut open a bell pepper and the inside of a bell pepper looks like the outside of the bell pepper.
Okay, yeah.
How hysterical would that be if you cut open a green bell pepper and the inside's like yellow or orange? You're like, wait a minute.
I like when you cut them open and then there's another little bell pepper.
Oh, it really feels like winning like the lottery, doesn't it?
I like the carrots that are multicolored. And the carrots that you cut them open and you're like, oh, it's a purple carrot, but surprise, the inside is yellow.
You all are culinary folks, so perhaps you can answer this question. Beans, dry beans. If you're making a soup with dry beans, I read that you should soak them overnight.
Yes.
For at least 8 hours before cooking with them, because it cuts down on flatulence.
Yeah.
But normally we don't do that. Normally we just make the bean soup. But yesterday, it wasn't yesterday. I started, I don't know, whenever we ate it for dinner last night. So I soaked it the night before and then got it in the crock pot early in the morning. I don't think it made any difference. Is there actually like science to back this up that you're aware of, or?
It's definitely a thing that you do. Science
to back it up, but I think depending on the type of bean, it really matters.
Oh, I had 15 bean soup. So the chances are pretty good that one of those 15.
You checked off all the beans. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that one of them is. But maybe one of them was worse. Wow, the leaves are like, it's so funny. Just like leaf blowing this pile closer to the road and more leaves are like, oh, sweet. Look at that empty spot of grass. Let's fall there. It's just, this time of year is magical. Magical.
It's cold. This time of year is cold.
Golly, my feet are so cold right now. I've been running around in those leaves and like, I'm only wearing my Vans and one pair of socks and regretting that decision.
Only one pair.
My fingers are cold.
Do you wear more than one pair of socks at a time?
I mean, when it's cold, yeah, I'll wear two pairs of socks. Absolutely.
Why don't you just get better socks?
Outside of that.
Well, thermodynamics or something. I wear like a thin pair and then put like a thick pair over top of them. Oh. And that seems to insulate better than just wearing the thick pair by itself. I'll do that like when I go out for like a walk when it's like 30 and I'm going to be out for like 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'll wear like, you know, if I'm just like walking from my house to the car, I can just live with thick socks. But if I intend to be in it for a while when it's freezing or below, I'll double sock it.
And that brings us to today's topic.
Double socks.
Double socks.
Oh, I know this one.
Today's topic is glaucus.
What?
Glaucus. G-L-A-U-C-O-U-S.
G-L?
Yeah.
Well,
C-U.
What?
C-U-S?
G-L-A-U.
A-U.
C-O-U-S. Glaucus.
C-O-U-S.
It's the root word for glaucoma, obviously. So this has to do with eyeballs, hardening of eyeballs specifically.
Hardening of things, maybe. Maybe not just eyeballs.
Maybe no, it's like the shell.
No, I'm just going to veto this line. Just no.
Why?
Because we're talking about eyeballs.
Is that like a gross topic?
It's a thing. It's a trigger for many individuals. We could probably talk about glaucoma without talking about eyeballs. Okay. Hardening of surfaces.
Yeah.
It's something is very, yeah. Yeah.
So like, you know that your Dyson sphere is done when you've got a nice crust.
Or it's got a glaucus around it.
Well, yeah, are any of you making Dyson spheres this Thanksgiving?
Yeah, yeah. And then if you let something harden too much, it becomes a piece of glaucite.
Yeah, you got to throw away at that point. There's nothing, you can't save
yeah.
it.
So. Yeah.
Do they sell that at metaphysical stores?
Glaucite? Yeah, I mean, they might.
What's the meaning for it? What does it help with?
Flatulence. it's a little round ball.
You put it in your soup.
Sort of white.
You're making your soup.
No, you don't put it in your soup.
Don't eat it. It just set it there to help.
Oh, okay. So it's like a stone soup sort of thing.
It absorbs the flatula. It causes flatulence.
How far do you think you could get with your kids and using that as an explanation before they're just like, Dad?
Probably. I mean, I could play it for a while, pretty far.
My kids would probably let me go on for like 2 minutes.
I might even at lunch when I have leftover soup, I might pitch it. Like, I was doing some research this morning and here's what I found. And they'd be like, what, really? Yeah. We need to get something that has really thick glaucus.
Then you lose trust for future things, right? Like,
I believe that ship has already set sail.
Yeah.
Everything I suggest is suspect. Even like the soaking the beans, they were like, that's not true. Like, well, I guess we're doing science.
we're doing science every day.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was spelled differently in my head when you said it. I was thinking glaucus, okay, G-L-O-K-U-S, which, you know, is the U.S. distributor of Glocks, the firearm. Glock us, obviously.
Or Glock US, yeah.
Glock US, yeah.
That would be their website, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glock the US, yeah.
Oh man, that I without looking, I am reasonably confident that that exists. Yeah. It sells exactly what we think it sells, for exactly who we think will buy it.
Glock.us.
But I think it's OCK.
The site does
Chris.
Not exist. OCK. Okay.
Uh huh.
Glock.us. Oh, it's loading something. Mm. Put on a watch list now. Apparently their site sucks because it's taking a really long time to load.
Hold
that
on.
Seems about right.
Oh. Yep.
I went to a thing. We've been on break for a while.
It's a sabbatical. Yeah.
Yeah. And in the interim, connections timed out. Cool. No glock.us. Excellent. That's good.
It's because of server demand. We crashed the server.
Yeah, we crashed it. Three people on this call that are looking for it. So we were on a break, and during that break, Aaron and I went to Las Vegas to Valley of Fire. We went and saw the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil at Mandalay Bay, which is pretty cool. Better than I thought it would be. I don't know what I expected, really. but it was pretty cool. It was more dancing and less aerial acrobatic stuff, but I guess that's to be expected because Michael Jackson. We went to the Meow Wolf exhibit. So there's this place in Vegas now. I don't know how long it's been there. I don't think it's been there very long. There's a big warehouse building thing called Area 15. And it's an art installation. It's like a mall for art, basically. So you get there, it's this big black gray building. And there's like music and dancing outside, and you go through and it looks like you're going into a club and they check your ID and stuff. And you go in and there's like, you know, EDM blaring, and there's all these little, like, there's like a few shops and there's like museums and stuff. There was a Klimt museum there that we didn't go to. There was some museum on like booze, I think. But then a big section of this building is taken up by the Meow Wolf thing. Meow Wolf is, I guess, an art collective or something that builds weird installations. And so the one that they have in Vegas is called Omega Mart.
There's a Meow Wolf brewery in New Mexico. I don't know if there's any correlation, but sorry.
Don't know. No idea.
Keep going. I was...
So we got tickets to the Meow Wolf. So you go in and you go into Omega Mart, which is like this big, like, grocery store looking thing, but it's all super like weird. But it's an actual like functioning, like, it's also their gift store. So like everything in there is actually stuff you can buy. Most of the things that are in there are things you can actually buy. And like they have actual products. I was already aware of the water company called Liquid Death. So they have Liquid Death there, and they had cans of gender fluid, which is pretty cool.
That's memorable.
They had these pillows that were like bags of chips, but they were pillows. They had all sorts of random weird stuff. A lot of it was stuff that they make and sell, but some of it is stuff that they obviously pulled in from other places. And there's like a wall where it looks like, you know, like when a JPEG doesn't load all the way, or like glitches midway through the download, where you have like the picture and then the streaky line straight down and then the other half of the picture. Well, they have like a wall where you're like looking at milk or something, and then, like, you know, somewhere in the middle of the aisle, it just like breaks and there's this like weird streaky thing. So like you're seeing it in real life. It's pretty cool. But then you go into the back of this grocery store. Like, there's all these like secret chambers you can go through. There's like tunnels that you can go, like, just like a tent set up. You know how sometimes you go to a grocery store and they have this tent, you can win this tent. You go through the tent, you can go out into the back area. You can go through like the meat department, or you can go through some other like side doors and stuff. And then you're in the back area, and then it's all like weirdly dystopian sci-fi stuff. More loud music, some slides, lots of like announcements about like, So there's a whole story to this thing too. Like, there's a whole like interactive storytelling experience thing wherein there is this this dude. I think his last name is Mart, not Omega. like Ken Mart or something. And he was like had created this grocery chain and like, you know, was CEO of the company and then started expanding. And then his daughter comes in, and like, and this is all stuff I learned from the website, because if you go to there's an Omni, I think it's like some like Omega Corp or something, or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's like some fake company behind it, and you go there and you can learn all about their stuff. So apparently, like, so he's the dude, and then there's his daughter comes in, and I'm spoiling it, but like she like usurps him. Like, he chose his successor. He was going to retire, and he chose his successor, and she came in and she removed him from CEO position, and she became CEO instead of his successor, and she's taking it all in this weird like biotechnology stuff. So like all the stuff in the back is all themed like weird experiments on humans and stuff, and like on human happiness and transcendence and stuff, and so it's all like you're walking through like just weird experiment stuff, and it's pretty cool.
Sounds really cool.
It's really weird. Yeah, it was a little bit like the City Museum in St. Louis that we went to a few years ago, in that it had a lot of like, it was sort of like the same kind of approach to like an adult playground, but it was less, it was more like techie. It was like I guess the Las Vegas version of
City Museum with funding. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
City
exactly.
Museum with funding and a capitalist yes. potential for profit.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Exactly. That's the thing right there.
Capitalism is.
It's cool. I think I want to. And it was ridiculous. It's stupidly. It's like $55 a pop, but it is worth it. It is cool as we probably get back.
I think I want to figure out, not this year, because I only have a couple of days to figure it out, but I think I want to figure out some way to engage in anti-capitalist practices between Thanksgiving and Christmas in 2022. I don't know what that means. Stuff. Well, don't, I mean, that would be step one, but I'm certain that I could do more than that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I honestly, like, not buying things and finding some other way of celebrating the people that you love in gift-giving season is probably the biggest step toward anti-capitalism that you could possibly make, because that's the biggest time to buy things. But everything is capitalism.
There could be lots of little steps of what that looks like to you. It depends on what portion you're most mad about.
Yeah,
there's but there's like small things like not participating, right? But then there's like larger things that are actually smaller in daily exercise, but compound more, you know? A silly example, an easy example, I didn't do so well last year, would be like planting and growing my own vegetables, right? Like, but there's probably something like that I could figure out like every day. What are the metaphorical ways to grow your own vegetables that can get you off of the conveyor belt, as it were?
I mean, it like everything is capitalist, which makes it kind of hard. Like even if you say, okay, like I value experiences over things,
possessions. Yeah.
And you say, okay, so in pursuing the goal of valuing experiences over things, I'm going to go out and do things. Well, in order to go out and do things, you need to like unless you're going to buy, which is still capitalist, an RV and live in your RV when you go out and do things, you're still spending money on wherever, the place that you're going, the food, the hotel accommodations or Airbnb or whatever. Like it's all, you know, it all plays into the system. There's no I don't know. I guess I've given up. Because unless we're gonna live in a commune grow our own food and craft our own books with our bare hands or only ever buy used anything, I guess that's somewhat less capitalist than buying things new, which I mean that's probably a pretty good sustainable practice in general, but
more like supporting smaller businesses rather than
I think that small. Patreon and things like it are a pretty anti-capitalist model in that you're giving
directly
money
to the creator
as opposed to like them having to work for an actual person maybe and that you were showing that you value their things and helping them to continue making the thing that they're making. I know the dude that makes all the D&D models that I patronize and download and use in my games. I think that he quit his job a few years ago because he's just got patrons that pay him to do this, and that's awesome.
I was going to say we spoke in our Slack about the Christmas parade that just happened here in my hometown, my current hometown. Chris pointed out a couple times was
took twice. Place
in November. It is a Christmas parade. It's not a holiday parade in the city. It's very much a Christmas parade. And this Christmas parade took place before Thanksgiving, also in the month that Christmas doesn't even happen. In any case, there were actual like legit floats pulled by, you know, pickup trucks that were, you know, very typical of the area. And there were so many that were sponsored by very, very bizarre companies. So it was like somebody knew somebody whose kid was in this dance troupe and they needed someone to help underwrite the expense of, you know, or maybe not expense, maybe just needed someone who like, hey, if you tow this trailer with your truck, like you can put your business sign up.
We'll put a sign on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And this I looked at the numbers. So 40% of the population of the city shows up for this parade. And that is like 20%, like 15% of the entire county is at this parade. So it's a big deal. Now, granted, I'm in a small area, but still, like it's, and it goes on forever. We were there for 2 hours and we left after 2 hours and the parade is not going to be over anytime soon.
Wow.
But every single one of those entries had some kind of small business associated with them, except for, of course, like the EMTs and the sheriff and the police department. And
they're in the parade?
Of course, yes. So last year, December 20th or something, let's get political. There was an officer that was killed in line of duty here in Concord. And obviously like that draws out like, you know, a fair bit of people, you know, the thin blue line, blah, 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 whatever. You know, our ridiculously overfunded police department that shows up with a SWAT vehicle that is, you know, military surplus from Afghanistan. Like, the city's a population of 100,000. Like, we don't need our own bomb squad. We don't need, like, you know, this SWAT vehicle to bring in, like, armored humans to extract people from a potential... It's ridiculous. It's just absolutely asinine. It's... Especially considering we are 30 minutes outside of a major city that already has, like, you know, bomb unit. Yeah. And So if there were a need for it, it's baffling. In any case, we all in the city back the police. And so after this officer was killed, City Hall, you could go and get a blue light bulb to put on your porch. So you could light a blue light bulb in support of the police, which I think is fantastic because I can drive past houses and understand immediately the mindset of the people that live there. Right. But also it's just so baffling. So there was one float in the parade that was in honor of our fallen officer and like, you know, Christmas parade. And then like, what a fun downer, like, you know, this like summer float goes past and the crowd hushes. There's like, you know, some golf clapping and silence. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? I mean, I feel bad for his family and I'm bummed that they're about to spend their second Christmas without him. However, like it's the gig, like it's, you know, if you signed up for it, not knowing that this was part of the risk of the job, like, perhaps the issue is like the training side, you know, like it's so baffling to me. The well, fourth largest like military in the world.
Manipulation of something that's tragic.
Oh God. So gross. It's so gross.
To better. Yeah. It's just not.
And couple it with the fact. Oh fuck. Couple it with the fact that the person involved, are the children running around? Couple it with the fact that the person involved in the shooting, the citizen, this is the exact situation that we see in city after city across the U.S. where it was someone that was in a very charged emotional state and was and didn't need to be confronted by force, but needed someone to come and put an arm around him, you know. And it's just like, fuck, how do you people not see this? Like, we're
that's really frustrating.
And that's like one of those things, like, where do you start to even like approach that conversation when people are clearly like, well, you know, the officer, geez, it wasn't like the news articles were splitting any words on it. You know, I mean, it was pretty gross how they described the victim and, you know, it's just like, this is the world. Yeah. Well, happy Thanksgiving on that note. Once again, Gary manages to bring the episode to a screeching halt. And what I will say is this. I will slap a post-it note on this crack that I've put in here and say that I am thankful to have this place where I can kind of speak like this, openly and not feel, I feel like I can share opinions and be wrong and find out where I am. And to have this spot where I can sort of wrestle with the world around me with you all, is so wonderful. And I'm thankful for the greater community that, both of you are in, and your opportunity to do the same in the way that you engage in it. So, that's a cool thing to lean into as we hit this manufactured day of eating canned cranberries.
If anyone's interested in a non-canned cranberry version, I have a really good recipe.
I don't think anybody in my family is. I think they want to like pull it out, put it on the plate with the grooves in the side and slice it. I'm like,
I know, it's a total preference. Okay. But for me, I just love, to be honest, I love making it more than the eating it, because it just makes it's one of the smells, right? That's like, anyway, Glaucus.
Yes.
Glaucus means two things, but they're both really excellent. It's used to describe the pale blue or bluish green appearance of the surfaces of some plants, as well as birds. Mm-hmm. And it also means covered with a powdery bloom like that on grapes or plums.
Oh, wow. That word is loaded with meaning. You say it, like when you say that definition, like I can feel it, you know? That's cool.
It's like a very particular color, I like it.
Do you think, obviously my first thought was space, do you think that the view of space, that blue-green color, could be considered glaucus? Maybe at certain altitudes?
If you see a color of it, though, it's almost more like blue-purpley in their examples. But it's hard to tell, because on their examples of when they use examples for birds, it is that like light, I don't know how to explain it. Light navy blue, dusty blue. Hmm. Anyway, I'll post links in Slack.
So we do have a number of emails that were sent through the contact form. Some of them are legit. There's a few Allison questions, but I would like to, and one of them is my biz jazz topic submission.
I need to get
actually
on.
I think before we read this, can we just do a quick like summary of Bin Jazz Conf for people that are still listening?
Sure, Bin Jazz Conf.
Or Gary, who's having a hard time
Recently updated the Bin Jazz Conf 2021 page on the website. I did it, last time I recorded. Basically what it says, I can read it, in fact. It says, Bin Jazz Conf is a conference for us, the creators of Binary Jazz. It's the hypothetical introvert conference we've talked about many times in the show and privately. You're all invited, of course, and we'll stream it for you. But the only requirement is that we entertain ourselves and are possibly entertaining to others in the process. It is not a tech conference, at least not intentionally. It is a conference by and for people who are in technology, us, but it is not about technology or specific technology. The plan is to start at our normal recording time. Each speaker will present their topic. After the talks are done, we'll record a normal Binary Jazz episode. So total running time will be 2-ish hours, depending on if we get guests. And it will be on December 10th. And I think that is accurate now.
Cool. That will be fun. I think that I am realizing that Rhonda is leaving town that day. Which is fine. It doesn't impact anything unless she's leaving town, like literally at that moment.
And then Gary suggested that in lieu of like a registration fee, we encourage you, because you can watch it for free and live and whatever, or after the fact. But in lieu of a registration fee, you can make a donation to your favorite charity or nonprofit organization. And I put a list on the website.
I would also add that if you're struggling and you want to use a list on the website, great. If not, and you have somewhere like local, it's a favorite of yours.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Go with what you get. Go with what you want to do. But we have some suggestions, and some of them really, really have serious need of updating their website. But that's besides the point. So I was looking at these messages that we have in our feedback bin. And noting that this is not the stuff that's in the spam section. This is stuff that filters through the spam, because like there's a whole other range of things that are like in the spam. That's a whole other thing. One of them came in on November 5th according to the name on it, Doug Trail. Has a nvi.rambler.com email address on a Russian website, because it's not the same. And in Russian, oh, darn it, I just lost it. There we go. In Russian, he writes to us, "I think you are making a mistake. Let's discuss this. Email me at PM. We will talk. Do not be upset. More fun. Buy a card mechanic diploma, buy a low cost diploma, or buy a college diploma."
Here. Actually, can you forward me that one? I would like a college diploma.
Low cost.
So that is from really? Doug Trail.
But you're just buying the actual diploma. You're not.
Yeah. We have a contact from one.
I want to put that on my resume too. Obtain diploma 2021.
We have a contact from 123. They have a numeric email address that is at qq.com. They did not give us any content.
That's actually pretty common at QQ. QQ is numeric addresses.
Cool. And then this one comes in English from an economymom.com. Email address. It's from Sarah Bull, and she says, "Hello, many entrepreneurs."
Oh, I know Sarah.
Become roadblocked on the path to operating a business by red tape, in quotations. Roadblock is also
just
in quotations.
Like her too. Yep.
Requirements of law, both national and regional. I'd enjoy writing an article for your website to guide entrepreneurs through the primary types of licensing and permitting required by their related business types. The article will be written in a simple, quick reference format to make the seeking of licensure as quick as possible. Please let me know if I can write this for you. And thanks so much for your time, Sarah.
So somewhere along the way, someone back in the 90s, maybe the early 2000s, was like, "Hey, if you like more traffic for your blog, offer an article exchange." And this has been a huge source of spam ever since. And whoever suggests, I would love to know who suggested this. I'm sure that they didn't mean anything nefarious by it. I'm sure that it was with good intent, but I would love to ask them how they feel about it and what they think, because obviously it has turned into something pretty not great.
We have another one that is, we'll get
Chris
to Ellison's,
like, I don't care.
We'll get to Ellison's, but probably not.
All my valid questions.
I know, because I didn't want to all your questions are also like, some of them are possibly more thought provoking. And since we are already kind of on a low note, I wanted to end on a stupid note. So I was going with the stupid things, and we can just clear out our bin and then have a clean slate next time. So this one is in partial Russian and partial English from Jackie Wex, who also has a Rambler.
Is that J-A-C-K-Y or I-E?
I-E.
Okay. Thank you.
And this is a combination of English and Russian. It says in Russian, "This is unlikely." "This is unlikely" is in Russian. And then the rest is in English. It says, "Has a robust monitor report, comma, link to a Pinterest pin. Having experienced a server seizure by authorities, which proved its zero log policy true on the time, learn our ExpressVPN."
I don't need to copy that one, actually.
And the last one that I have.
Can't wait to show off my diploma, though.
Which is good, because we have less than a minute. Let's see what this one says. "Great, very valuable message for which the best IP telephony is required."
Oh, I love IP telephony.
And that is just a run through our inbox. Just a reminder, you can send us your comment that is not in Russian and is actually legitimate at binaryjazz.us. There's a forum on the website. You can also submit your... Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at at Binary Jazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.